Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Planetfall by Waldo Rodriguez. Narrated by B.J. Harrison. Chapter 1. Red lights flashed beyond the moisture-drenched viewport of his cryopod. Gabriel's teeth chattered as he tried to make sense of the outside world. A string of text flashed before his eyes.
Running diagnostic. Reclaimer system, online. Subject status, mild cryosleep sickness. Reclaimer mission status, active. Mission update. Atlas station is under attack. Risk of complete mission failure, severe.
What's going on? Gabriel slumped against the pod's wall. He pressed his ear to it, barely understanding what was going on around him, let alone how he wound up in a pod.
Muffled alarms pierced the pod. Faint hisses of machinery joined them.
Other than the alarms, it didn't sound like an attack was taking place.
The pod unceremoniously dumped Gabriel on the floor. His head buzzed from the impact. He retched, spewing out a frigid mess of blue-white fluid onto the floor that mingled with traces of blood.
What is going on here? Gabriel thought. Where am I? How?
Flashes of the crucible shot across his mind. The violent, brutal training. The amazing strides he'd taken from a zero of a recruit to... Everything clicked into place. Gabriel and the Reclaimers had survived the pack assault on the Crucible. But something went wrong. Something big.
Dead man, he thought.
The crazed Arcanist attempted to collapse their reality into another, and he almost succeeded. Gabriel stopped him, but it was not without consequence. The ritual tore at the very fabric of their reality. People vanished in flashes. Others erupted into bouquets of copies of themselves. In the end, a violet tear ripped across the earth. But that only explained how he got to where he was, Atlas Station. It didn't explain how they were under attack, or by what. Gabriel raised his head, looking across the vast cryo chamber. 1,000 coffin-shaped cryopods filled the bay. Only 902 reclaimers made it aboard Atlas Station. Gabriel grimaced. They were almost 100 shy of capacity, thanks to the pack and dead man's assault.
But we made it out alive, Gabriel reassured himself.
Gabriel had become responsible for each and every one of those reclaimers the second he earned the position of commander. Along with the pods were the stockpiles of supplies, machinery, and information, all housed within the teardrop-shaped section of the station meant to deposit humanity's survivors back on Earth. On paper, it was a simple plan. Land, establish a base, and reclaim the world. Nothing was ever that simple. Pods groaned and shuddered as whatever attack that tore at the station continued. Across the chamber, a pod exploded into a shower of red, sparks, and shrapnel. Gabriel only had time to widen his eyes in horror before the vacuum of space violently pulled at him and everything else within the chamber. He was ripped off the floor before he could hope to get a grip.
Holy shit!
A robotic hand snatched him out of the air, cutting his panicked cry short.
Initiating armament protocols,
a calm, artificial female voice announced. Several more robotic arms sprang out around Gabriel's pod, removing his armor from storage. Piece by piece, they slapped his armor onto his body and locked in place with all the gingerly care of a construction worker bolting the plates of a superstructure into place. Gabriel, thankfully, was able to hiss as his helmet came up over his head.
Warning. Vacuum environment detected. Recommendation. Please keep your helmet on at all times. Prioritize maintaining your suit's integrity at all times.
Gabriel didn't appreciate being treated like a complete idiot. Still, the supposedly mild cryosleep sickness he was suffering kept his head in a dense fog. It left him feeling a few brain cells shy of remembering his own name, let alone what he was supposed to do to stay alive. The robotic arms set Gabriel back down on the floor before shoving his nanotool into his hands along with his Ares rifle.
Commander, Atlas Station is under attack, the calm AI voice announced.
I can see that, Gabriel grunted, as he fished out Stormbringer from his cryopod.
He mounted the weapon's railgun scabbard on his hip.
"What's the situation? What's your name?"
"My name is irrelevant to this situation, Commander. My likelihood of survival is less than 5%.
The AI never lost its cool, even when talking about its own demise. Gabriel always found that unsettling about artificial intelligences, much more than any supposed superiority they had to humans.
"My priority is, and always has been, the preservation of the reclaimers aboard."
"Atlas it is, then," Gabriel said. "What's going on?"
Atlas carried on, obeying Gabriel's command. "We are currently receiving railgun fire from Earth. Due to the state of disrepair of humanity's satellite networks, I am not able to pinpoint the position. However, it seems to be coming from the continent formerly known as North America."
Gabriel's mind raced with possibilities. 1,000 years were meant to have passed, after an apocalypse unlike any other. Huge, continent-killing tidal waves, Earth-sundering hurricanes and tornadoes, lightning storms that could carve buildings in two, and so much more. And all of that was before the war with the Pack escalated, or dead man's schemes came into play. Gabriel had already experienced the worsening climate firsthand when living in the relative safety of Orlando, and even more than he cared to during his training in the Crucible. No one was supposed to make it out of that mess alive. Which left two possibilities in Gabriel's mind. An automated defense system had picked them up, or someone was alive on Earth. Neither answer brought him any comfort. Whoever was down there clearly wanted them dead for some reason.
"I am in the process of narrowing down the search area of our attackers," Atlas said.
"Don't worry about that right now, Atlas. We need to get to Earth, and we need to do it now," Gabriel said.
"I am unable to comply,"
Atlas replied, in that grating, calm voice.
"Why the hell not?" Gabriel snapped.
The station shook as another shell found its mark through the station's landing craft. Another dozen souls dead in their sleep. They had survived the grueling training of the Crucible and 1,000 years of cryosleep, all with the hope of rebuilding humanity from the ashes, only to be cut down while they were defenseless.
"The junction between the landing craft and the station proper has been severely damaged," Atlas explained. "While the landing craft's engines are still operational, activating them while it is still linked to the station proper carries with it a high likelihood of fatalities for all the reclaimers on board Atlas Station."
Gabriel sucked in a breath through his teeth. "That's not good at all."
"Which is why desperate measures had to be taken," Atlas continued. "Of all the reclaimers here, you stood the highest chance of surviving a rushed reanimation with minimal side effects."
Gabriel's drowsy mind and twisted stomach didn't feel minimal in the slightest, but he'd had worse. "Fine. Then tell me what I need to do to save my people." A yellow dotted line materialized on the floor, thanks to his helmet's heads-up display, leading the way out of the cryo chamber.
"I have determined this is the fastest path to the junction," Atlas said. "You are to proceed with all due haste and decouple the station from the landing craft. Once done, I will activate the landing craft's engines and attempt to land in a safe region. Warning: due to the damage suffered, further emergency evacuations may be required."
Gabriel didn't have a moment to waste. He drunkenly sprinted down the path, running along the catwalk. He vaguely remembered being impressed by the landing craft's size when he and his friends arrived for their millennia-long ice naps. Now, the stadium-sized catwalk was nothing more than a waste of time, keeping him from saving his people.
"What do you mean, further evacuations?" Gabriel asked.
"Due to the damage taken by the landing craft, some pods are under risk of being damaged or destroyed upon landing," Atlas said. "Those pods will have to be jettisoned in order to preserve the reclaimers within."
Gabriel opened his mouth, then closed it. "Is that even safe?"
"I lack sufficient data on the current situation on Earth to make a proper estimate," Atlas answered. "What I can guarantee is the survival of each jettisoned pod. They were built with planetary re-entry in mind in the event of a catastrophic failure. You will be pleased to know my latest scans show the Earth's atmosphere is friendly to human life. Of course it wasn't safe. It was a stupid question, and he knew it. While the terraforming stations Umblecross left behind stabilized their world, it didn't mean new wildlife hadn't come up to take residence in humanity's absence. Gabriel could only imagine the wild twists and turns evolution could take in 1,000 years of extreme climate, and whatever it was Deadman actually did before Gabriel killed him. But the stupid question did jostle something from his mind. Thrusters. With a thought, Gabriel activated his suit's thrusters, sending himself flying like a bullet through the vast cryo chamber. Chunks of metal debris and flash-frozen gore drifted in the vacuum of space. The railguns had taken out the station's gravity generator, and far too many of his people. Another hyper-accelerated slug ripped through the chamber, right across Gabriel's path. Time slowed to a crawl. The catwalk bulged and shattered before him. A shower of sparks and deadly shrapnel flew in every direction. Gabriel swung his entire weight back, firing off his thrusters at full burn to pull away. The catwalk ahead of him spun and twisted as the slug drilled through. It was the size of a bus. He barely made out the yellow markings on the side of the spinning shell before it ripped clean through and into the void of space.
Discipline, combat reflexes, plus one. Discipline, evasive, plus one.
Gabriel's heart kicked at his chest as he ground to a halt. Had he been a fraction of a second slower in his reactions, he would have been lucky if there was even a red mist left of him. Fortunately, the shells weren't explosive. It was a small blessing in the situation, just like the opening to his side was. "Atlas, we're going for a spacewalk," Gabriel said.
"Understood," Atlas said. "Recalculating route."
Gabriel flung himself through the broken hull with his boosters on full burn. He couldn't believe just how thick the landing craft was. His family's small apartment back in Orlando could easily fit 3 times over, from the interior wall to the exterior. Umblecross wasn't messing around when it came to ensuring humanity's survival. Gabriel seriously doubted they had taken a rogue railgun battery into the equation, though. Still, it wasn't all blessings. Red notifications flashed in the corner of his vision. Casualty reports. Each one was another dead reclaimer. Any of them could have been one of his friends. Worse, it could have been Nicole. His chest tightened at the very thought. He dismissed the notifications for the moment and pushed on through. There was no time for distractions. Gabriel came out of the landing craft in pure awe. The vast void of space, filled with stars and debris, stretched out before him. He sorely wished both of his times in space had come under better circumstances, but peace didn't seem like something that was in the cards for him. "Next time I come up here, it's going to be on better days, I promise," he whispered to himself.
The probability of any reclaimer surviving long enough for humanity to reach for the stars again is less than 5%,
Atlas chimed in. Gabriel pointed himself toward the top of the landing craft, or rather the bottom, if he remembered right. It was where the engines were.
"I appreciate the optimism, Atlas."
He rocketed away, watching streaks of railgun shells fly past into the void of space. Deadly shooting stars, intent on ending their mission before it began. Above was the main station, a ringed structure where their shuttles had docked and remained for 1,000 years, at least for the most part. The barrage of railgun fire had ripped apart sections of the structure, just as some of the shuttles had. Atlas Station, which had been meant to stay on the dark side of the moon, had drifted into the light. Gabriel assumed it was in preparation to launch the reclaimer mission. The damage the station had taken left the ancient relic drifting freely through space, spinning listlessly through the void, with the moon coming in and out of view. They were a sitting duck waiting for the next shell to give the station any sort of direction, or destroy it outright. Gabriel made sure to plant himself on the hull of the landing craft before the station decided to have a sudden and violent change of direction. He'd come out somewhere at the halfway point of the massive structure. Thankfully, the frictionless environment made his thrusters far more efficient for getting around. All it took was one full power burst and he was on his way. The minor application of a thrust here and there made sure he kept on course, hugging the hull just in case he needed to maglock back onto it.
"How much control do we actually have to land this thing?" Gabriel asked.
Atlas was silent for a moment.
"Enough control to assure the reclaimers land safely on land, even if they are jettisoned. I have already factored the station's spin into my calculations."
Gabriel was relieved to hear the good news, but it didn't soothe one of his nagging fears.
"Will the guns track the landing craft?"
"Unknown," Atlas answered. "The landing craft's mass is much greater than the station itself, however. If these railguns are in fact automated, it stands to reason they will track the landing craft's larger signature throughout its descent."
"That's what I was afraid of," Gabriel said. A plan jumped into his mind. It wasn't ideal by any means, but it might increase their odds of survival. "Atlas, I want you to send out the cryopods as soon as it's safe to do so. Understood?"
"Commander, this course of action carries with it a high probability of scattering reclaimers across the globe," Atlas warned. "This will drastically decrease the chances of survival for each reclaimer."
Gabriel sent himself over the top of the landing craft with one final burst. "We're reclaimers, Atlas. Surviving against the odds is what we do." He landed on the hull and gawked at the coupling before him. There wasn't just one, but three of them. "Please tell me none of these is a fuel line." Atlas marked each of the couplings in turn, from the viciously damaged one on the left to the sturdiest looking of them all on the right.
"Energy coupling, fuel coupling, and docking coupling. The first two provided the landing craft with the energy and fuel required for operations. I can assure you all the fuel has already been transferred to the landing craft and is currently operating under its own reactor. There is no threat of explosion."
"That's reassuring," Gabriel said, inspecting the first line. The energy coupling had been shredded by one of the enormous slugs currently trying to reduce Atlas Station to space dust. It was a mess of thick, splayed out and melted cabling that wasn't going to be doing anyone any favors except as raw materials, assuming enough of the coupling survived the landing for that. A solid few cables and what remained of the coupling were all that held that line in place. Scanning it with his helmet, the HUD suggested a low-level charged shot would be enough to sever the line. Gabriel shouldered his rifle and charged a shot. The Ares, or rather his helmet, played a chime as the weapon reached the first level of charge. He fired, unleashing a brilliant bolt of orange energy through the remaining coupling. A thick strand of cable remained, but it was nothing a swift kick couldn't knock loose. He moved on to the fuel line, drawing his nanotool's sword. Gabriel swung with all his might, but the fuel line proved far stronger than he realized, stopping halfway through the pipe. The landing craft shook beneath his feet. They didn't have time to mess around, but neither could he afford to waste precious charge on the fuel line. The docking coupling was the strongest of the three, and it would take the longest to cut down. There had to be a better way. There had to be something he was missing. Red notifications flashed on the corner of his vision. More of his people were dying. How long did they have before the entire mission was unsalvageable? Desperation kicked more of the frost out of his mind. Power strike. The thought shot like lightning through Gabriel's mind to the blazing crimson soul within him. Mana flowed like a raging river from his core, down his arms, and enveloped his blade. One swing was all it took. Crimson energy trailed the blade's path in a furious arc. The amplified strike cleaved through the remaining fuel line like tissue paper and bit into the landing craft's hull. His crimson mana erupted on contact, leaving a blade-shaped crater where it struck. Gabriel recoiled from the exertion of power like someone had just jabbed a taser into his skull.
"Warning, cryosleep sickness is interfering with the flow of mana."
Gabriel began to growl as another shell sailed past. The shell slammed right into Shuttle 10's midsection, the shuttle they'd escaped the crucible on. It bent violently at the point of impact, snapping in two before its reactor detonated. The force of the blast alone nearly ripped Gabriel's mag boots free of the plating beneath his feet. Gabriel tried stabbing his sword through for stability, but without the assistance of a power strike, he barely scratched it. Shrapnel the size of cars and smaller debris crashed along the landing craft's hull in a rain of sparks. The sturdier pieces actually embedded themselves in the metal plating. Gabriel threw his hand up, casting a barrier a little too late. His armor flashed yellow across the torso and helmet. His right arm flashed orange.
Warning. Structural integrity compromised. Should the suit's integrity fall to critical levels, protection from the vacuum will no longer be available.
What remained of the shuttle's wingtip smashed against the barrier, sending Gabriel spinning back into the void of space. That was way too close. He hissed at the shock using his mana caused after a thousand-year-long ice nap. A moment of pain was well worth the price of saving his own life. More importantly, saving his people's lives. And they were running out of time. The landing craft had deep scars gouged along its hull from the railgun bombardment. Atlas hadn't mentioned anything about the vessel's chances of surviving re-entry, or even holding together long enough to make it that far. Either the artificial intelligence knew enough not to try and break a human's morale, or it didn't believe the damage was significant enough to be a cause for concern. Gabriel hoped it was the latter. Firing off his thrusters, he threw himself back to the landing craft, charging his Ares rifle the whole way. They didn't have a moment to spare. The weapon chimed once, twice, then refused to go any further. Gabriel cursed under his breath. It hadn't recharged its capacitor enough for a full-charged shot. "This'll have to do," he hoped, and released the trigger. The larger, more powerful beam of energy slammed into the docking coupling. Molten metal sprayed out into the void of space, but the coupling was practically intact.
"Damn it!" Gabriel said.
He slung his rifle onto his back and drew his sword once more. With the use of power stroke, he hacked away at the weakened metal he'd blasted. It was pointless. Each cut drove the blade deeper, but he wouldn't make it halfway through the coupling at the rate he was going. Not before the landing craft and the station were shot to pieces.
"Commander, I have a suggestion," Atlas chimed in.
Gabriel wedged his sword deep enough into the coupling he had to plant his foot on it to pry the weapon free.
"If you're about to tell me to go back for explosives, I don't think we have time."
"Negative," Atlas stated. "My scans indicate you are in possession of a unique, high-frequency blade, Stormbringer."
He felt like an idiot for having forgotten about the weapon's capabilities. Of course Squall's blade was the key. The insane sword could cut through damn near anything, especially when the railgun scabbard was employed.
"The weapon should be strong enough to cut the coupling free from the landing craft," Atlas continued. "My readings indicate it still has sufficient charge to perform this task."
"Charge?" Gabriel wondered, but decided not to ask about it. Time was running out. But there was a trick to using the quick-draw technique with Stormbringer. The weapon shot out of its sheath with such speed that Gabriel was sure to lose it to the vastness of space, not without employing a specific ability. The ability's name lingered on the edge of his mind, but his body and soul remembered what to do. Mana surged from his crimson soul to every muscle on his body. Gabriel grit his teeth together as pain spiked through his mind. He couldn't afford to lose focus. He would not lose focus. His crimson aura erupted around him like a violent torrent of flame. The destruction of Atlas Station around him slowed to a crawl.
Overdrive!
Gabriel swung Stormbringer's scabbard around and pulled the trigger. The golden katana screamed out of its sheath in a slow-motion explosion of sparks. Gabriel snapped his hand closed around the grip, pouring mana into the blade as he allowed the weapon's momentum to guide his strike. Stormbringer cut clean through the docking coupling like it wasn't even there.
"Stormbringer depleted."
The text caught Gabriel completely off guard, almost as much as the landing craft's engines flaring to life. It was like four volcanoes erupted around him simultaneously.
"Please hang on to something, Commander,"
Atlas warned.
"Hang on to what?"
Gabriel asked as he sheathed Stormbringer.
"Initiating evasive maneuvers."
There was nothing to hang on to as the ship burned away from Atlas Station. The sudden shift caused Gabriel's mag boots to lose their grip. Gabriel fired off his thrusters to keep up with the landing craft as it pulled away. Using the enhanced grip strength of his power armor, he latched onto the remains of the docking coupling. The sturdy metal stump worked well enough as a grip. Better yet, there was a door inside. All he needed was Atlas to open the door for him, and a shower of sparks and metals surged at him like a wild, tunneling beast. Gabriel's eyes shot wide with horror. He hit his thrusters on full burn. The railgun slug cleaved through the tail end of the landing craft, sending a rain of heavy debris into the vacuum of space. Gabriel spun out of control through the void. He fired off his thrusters, wildly trying to stabilize. Warnings flashed on his HUD as every piece of his armor flashed yellow or orange. He was one bad brush with a stray piece of space junk away from having his insides sucked out of his spacesuit, or however explosive decompression worked on a human body through such a tiny gap. Gabriel didn't know, nor did he want to know. Somehow that imagery wasn't as concerning as what he saw when the stars stopped spinning. The landing craft was falling to Earth. An engine flew off into empty space as another shell ripped it clean off. A thick cloud of debris trailed the craft as it spun out of control toward the planet. Far below, on the surface, Gabriel saw the flashes of shells shooting up from... He couldn't recognize the continent. He couldn't recognize any of the blue-green planet. Supposedly it was still Earth, but the geography had changed so drastically, he didn't know what parts of his home world he was looking at anymore. It looked vaguely like North America, though a great deal of its central mass had been broken up by the oceans, wild tectonic shifts, and asteroid impacts, or maybe volleys of nukes. How bad did things get after we left? Gabriel wondered. Unknown hostiles are continuing their assault on the landing craft. Atlas confirmed what Gabriel was already seeing. Initiating emergency evacuation, as per your orders, Commander. Transmitting estimated landing trajectories now. Another shell sailed past Gabriel's head, skewering through the heart of Atlas Station and silencing the AI once and for all. Gabriel's heart sank. His gaze snapped back to the landing craft, spinning through the void of space. He zoomed in with his helmet's optics. Yes! He pumped his fist in the air, or empty space. Gabriel was still wrapping his head around that fact. Pods shot out of the spinning landing craft like tiny stars in the void. As it turned out, every one of the cryopods on Atlas Station was equipped with its own set of thrusters in case of emergencies. He watched those shimmering blue stars become orange streaks across the Earth's atmosphere as they began re-entry. A relieved breath left him. They were going to make it. Most of them, at least. Gabriel hoped they would land close together, so they could help one another survive whatever wild world awaited them down below. He hoped he made the right call. One problem solved. Now how the hell am I going to get down there? Gabriel thought out loud, to make up for the deafening silence of space and the slowly creeping existential dread that he might die in the most anticlimactic way he could imagine after everything he'd been through, waiting for starvation or asphyxiation to take him. Gabriel wasn't about to go quietly into that good night. As he took in the debris field around him, an idea began to take form in his mind. An idea that very may well have been his stupidest one yet. Oh yeah, it's all coming together. Chapter 2 Orbital re-entry was a simple thing on paper, as far as Gabriel understood it. The reality was much more complicated. According to the archives that came with his Reclaimer implant suite, there were all sorts of variables one had to take into account when entering an atmosphere. Things like angle of entry, speed, the composition of the materials taking on the brunt of the heat. If he miscalculated any of these factors, he was in for one hell of a crispy fried end. Sure beats choking to death, though, he thought. Maybe I should try for one of the shuttles instead. Gabriel glanced back to what remained of Atlas Station. Nope, that's not going to work. Confetti was the most concise way Gabriel could think of to describe the wreck he saw before him. Partial rings drifted through space. Wrecked shuttles spun off into the void. Shuttle 2 was the only craft intact enough for conceivable use for atmospheric entry. Except the nose of the ship had been blown clean off. I don't think those shuttles even had a cockpit, he thought, and turned away from the
Sample complete. Ready to continue?